Many a moon ago, when my politics swang the other way, I joined the Liberal Party, and like 12 months I was out. I was like, and I still get spam from them. Like, guys, just stop.
Welcome to GCP Bites, episode 27, for Friday, the 10th of October, 2025. GCP Bites is a podcast where we discuss Google Cloud and tech. And I'm your host, Stephen Bancroft. On today's show, Google and Gemini both get a facelift. Qualcomm has its eye on Intel and AMD. Who's to blame for the Optus 000 outage? Plus, OpenAI and NVIDIA are on a money go-round. Find out in the AI wars. But before we get to any of that, I'd like to introduce the co-host of the show, Dave Wall. How are you, Dave?
I'm really good, thanks, mate. I think I might hop on the money go-round as well.
I know, bring some of it my way, it'd be nice. Yeah,
splash it.
Plus our very own GDE, Ian Brown. How are you, Ian?
I'm good, Banky. Can I get some of that money go-round as well?
Unfortunately, it's got to be millions that goes one way and then millions that comes out the other way. So.
No, no, in my luck, it's going to end up as more of a money human centipede thing.
I mean, I'm more than happy with millions going in both directions as long as I get to keep some of the millions.
Yeah. And you siphon off the interest in the meantime. Yeah, that'd be nice.
That's it.
What's been happening during the fortnight for you guys? Any new printers or anything like that?
No, I don't think I bought any new tech. I think I've been perusing, but for me, it's very much working out like, okay, when I get into the factory, like my shopping list of all the things to buy. Yep. But for now, no. Right.
I went shopping last week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I went shopping last week. So I've been having this issue with my car where my phone just doesn't connect to the head unit properly. Like, it'll connect once and it'll be fine and the music will play nicely and everything will work. And then I'll get out and go and run some errands, and 5 minutes later I'll jump back in the car and the phone will connect to the head unit, but the music will skip.
What phone is this?
There's a Pixel 9.
Pixel 9, okay.
And so it went to Nissan for its service, and I told them about the issue again. And they had a dude look at it, and they did a factory reset. They upgraded the firmware. They did all the things. We repaired my phone to it, and it worked fine the first time. Turned the car off, turned it back on 30 seconds later, and it starts skipping again. Worse this time because reasons. So anyway, we get the tech out who had actually done the service on the car, and the service manager was out as well. So we paired her phone to my car, doesn't have the problem. Ooh. We paired his phone to the car, doesn't have the problem. So out of three phones, an iPhone, a Samsung, and a Pixel, the only one that has the issue is the Pixel.
Uh-oh. Sounds ominous.
And so how did you solve your problem, Ian?
And so my son was in my ear for a period of time. And so now I've got one of these things.
He's jumped the shark, guys.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I jumped over to an Apple, and I haven't had the issue since.
We're an Apple Intelligence podcast now.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, Apple Intelligence is just ChatGPT. That's all it is. Strangely enough, my iPhone doesn't respond to Hey Google. Can't figure that one out because I keep saying, hey, Google, and it doesn't respond to me.
You can put the Gemini app on there, though.
I could, and I do have it on there, but it still doesn't respond to hey, Google. And then I went and bought a MacBook as well. I need a new laptop, so I've got a MacBook.
You're and then he's going to buy himself, me. You know, one of those 5K screens.
I've already got one of them. I've got a 4K widescreen already. So
no, I mean the Apple Pro display. Oh,
no, I'm not that stupid. Like, I'm pretty stupid. I just dumped a whole heap of money, but I'm not that stupid. But yeah, so that was my...
You should have just replaced the car. That would have been better.
That's $100,000. This is cheaper by an order of magnitude.
Well, you know, it serves you right for having one of those fancy cars, you know. You just, at least you've got a car. I don't even have a car, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, how's yours going?
I just rip out the head unit and replace the whole head unit. There you go, yeah, problem solved.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably one of the issues. So Nissan contracted a company in Australia to build the head unit for the Patrol and for the Navara as well. So it's got this really good head unit in there that does everything known to mankind, except for make you coffee, which I'm pretty disappointed about. But it's just there's a bug in the way that Google have implemented Bluetooth or Android Auto wireless on, well, even wired, it doesn't really matter. Actually, wired's worse. When I plugged in via the USB-C cable,
really,
the skipping was every single time I plugged it in and you could not get rid of it.
Oh, yeah, so strange.
Strange. Was this off media on the phone or YouTube or Spotify?
This is one of the things we tried was YouTube Music, which is what I listen to.
Mm-hmm.
The YouTube Music app obviously has its own idiosyncrasies, but we then tried Spotify because I have an old Spotify account. So I played the same song on Spotify and it did the same thing.
Mm.
So it's not the music app that's causing the issue. It's the actual phone.
Mm.
And the way it implements Android Auto or the wireless Android Auto.
I don't suppose you tried it with another Pixel, did you?
No, I don't have another Pixel.
Ah.
We did have the technician had a Samsung. It was like a Galaxy 23, I think it was, or 22. And it worked flawlessly. We sat out there for like half an hour just starting and stopping the car and restarting it and trying to get it to glitch, and it wouldn't do it. And the service manager had an iPhone, and it exactly the same thing happened with hers. Mm. Just constantly stop and starting the car, and it doesn't have the issue. So, yeah,
right.
Replacing $1,000 phone is cheaper than replacing $100,000 car.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Well, I have the Pixel 8 Pro. My wife has a 7A, and they work flawlessly on our Lexus. Never had a problem there, so who would know? Who would know? Yep. Outside of that, Dave, any tech adventures for you? Because that certainly sounds like a tech adventure.
It sounds like a tech
misadventure.
Nothing too exciting. And we've got my eyes on, again, as I said, we've got some eyes on some new tech for the factory, but nothing just yet. Mm-hmm. I'm wanting to go deep on the UniFi stack. So I've used that for my networking, you know, both wireless and physical for a long time. But I want to go deeper into using their Protect and Access suite as well. So you can have the one system to manage, you know, badging into the building, but then you also have your cameras and everything all linking. That's going to be, you know, the architecture that I kind of standardize on.
Mm-hmm. And then later this year, you'll be able to add a UniFi NAS.
Yeah, they've got some new ones which have sort of just recently come out. They had the UNAS 12 months ago, 6 months ago, which was sort of like their first foray in, but they have been maturing that quite rapidly. I think, you know, they saw Synology's fumble and they're like, ooh, we'll have that market too, thanks.
Yeah. And look, the NASs they've got listed on their site now all release Q4 this year. So UNAS Pro 4, which is a 1RU unit with four bays. That looks like it's shipping Q4. And then they've got the UNAS 4, which is the desktop version. Looks like it's going to be a good unit. I'm waiting for that to come out so I can get one of them. And then they've got the UNAS Pro and the UNAS Pro 8.
Yeah, the only problem for me is that the UNAS4s don't have any 10 gig on them, which that's probably the limit for me. The Pro 4 does. That's probably where I would go. I haven't made a decision about whether or not I would want to do Ubiquiti for my storage just yet. It's probably not a bad way to be able to do it, especially if you're using it as like shared storage to something else. They're not... It's not like like an Unraid or, you know, the QNAP or the Synology stack. So you can't run like containers and virtualization directly on the NAS. It's much more of a pure storage play, which is fine. Like, that's not a problem at all. Like, you can then plug, obviously run your own Proxmox host and use it as the shared storage, which is probably would be, if I was going to go down this way, it would be how I would go.
I do see, and one of the things that scares me slightly is I do see on their network storage page Unify branded hard drives, which worries me that they're going to do something stupid and make it so that only Unify branded hard drives can get in this machine.
Well, I think that's just them taking like an opportunity of like, yeah, we'll sell it with disk, but they've certainly made no... they haven't had a problem with allowing, say, like third-party SFPs and third-party NVMe drives in any of their smaller devices. So,
okay,
you know, I still see that that's something that Synology did.
Yeah,
and I feel like it would be a pretty bad play if they jumped into.
And also, I saw they're releasing a UPS.
Yeah, two new UPSs just announced yesterday.
Yeah.
So you got a tower form factor and a 1U one, I think. They've got a smart PDU as well, but they don't sell it in Australia yet. So, yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So 2U. Sorry, UPS 2U.
Oh, it is 2U. Okay.
Yep. And the tower version.
They're pretty reasonably priced, though. I mean, compared to what an APC you'll set you back.
Well, as it turns out, I've just bought a brand new APC because the UPS that's in my little cabinet downstairs that runs my house decided yesterday that it wasn't playing ball anymore and it started screaming. I was like, uh-oh, that's the second time it's done that. The first time it did it, I was just like, oh, maybe it's just glitched. I'll reset it. But no, it's definitely not.
The I will have a little check before I assume. Where is it? They do have them. Are they online? Yes. Okay. They do actually integrate, because that's the thing that always burned me about standard, you know, APC or Eaton UPSs, is they were dumb. And if you wanted to have the network connectivity on them, it's like, oh, well, that's like another $300.
Yeah. The network card forum was obscenely expensive. Someone brought out, I remember years ago, someone brought out a clone of that card that was like half the price, and then they got shut down by APC.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Cease and desist.
Yeah.
Getting Schneider electric'd.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, no new NASs or anything fancy for me. I'm slumming in TP-Link land.
hey, you've got one.
my works. So I don't have to reboot it all the time, by the way. I've gone off and done some AI training in the meantime.
You are the AI digital leader.
I did the AI digital leader training, and I'm booked in for the exam on Monday. Did the practice exam and smashed that. And looks like I'll end up with another cert on the pile. So there's a bit of a push to get these. Google's really keen to have more people skilled up on AI, and I'm dancing around the idea of doing the ML professional cert as well. So yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Very nice. Yeah, they're definitely pushing for more AI skilled people. Google's got me coming down next week. Next Wednesday, I'll be down at the Google office in Darling Harbour to run an AI workshop.
Or agent development kit.
That's right.
Yeah. That looks really cool. I did do a little bit of skills boost on that and just saw how that worked, but I haven't actually gone off and done any code myself at this point. But yeah, outside of that, did you see that they've refreshed the Google look? I don't know. Look, I mean, they do these things every now and then. They just sort of make it look a bit more snazzy, I suppose. And I'll put a link to the blog article, but they go through and they show the evolution of the look over the last like 15 years, and now it's all about the G, apparently making the G look a little bit more snazzy. And actually, I just went to google.com.au, and of course they got rid of the bespoke domains now.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's right. It refreshes you straight back to google.com, but for me, it's all black and white, so I don't know what's going on there.
It's not for me. I've got colour.
No, it's just completely black and white.
Probably because you've got dark mode on, right?
Yeah, possibly.
I have dark mode on? Possibly. Let me have a look here. I do. Yes, okay.
Dark mode strikes again.
There
dark
we go.
Theme off. Dark theme off. Oh, God, my eyes. I can see both wincing on the camera.
I was a little bit put out when I watched the little video that they've got there, because I remember when they brought out Gmail, and I remember when they brought out Maps, yep. and I remember when they changed their logo the first time, and I'm like, no, this is making me feel old. Stop it.
Remember when Google launched?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And everyone was like, geez, look at this search engine. This is crazy. How do you search the entire internet that quickly?
Yeah. What's a Google?
Yeah. Yeah. And when it became part of the dictionary, essentially, just to Google something.
Oh, yeah, it became a verb.
Yeah.
Yeah, once your product becomes a verb, you know you're successful.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've covered off everything in banter. All right, with that being said, let's get on with the community news. All right, Ian, take us through it. You've already mentioned next Wednesday, but there's a few more on the list here.
Yeah, so obviously next Wednesday is the Agent Development Kit workshops down at Google's head office, so register for that if you can. I'm not sure whether you can or not anymore, but try it. Also in the news, GDG Brisbane's DevFest is happening on the 25th of October. We will have another podcast before then, but we'll get them boosted a little bit. That's happening at UQ Brisbane in Queen Street, and it's a 9:30 until 5:30 event, so it's a decent size event. GDG Sydney's DevFest is happening on the 11th of October, 9 to 4. It's at New South Wales Teachers Federation Conference Centre in Surry Hills. And then GDG Cloud Sydney, which is a slightly different group of the same people, is the ANZ Gen AI Academy workshop, which is happening at Google on the 21st of October, 4:30 until 8 p.m. Register for that one if you can. And sadly, this is now sold out. GDG Melbourne's October Coding Night is happening on the 15th of October from 4:45 until 7 p.m. standard time, so 5:45 their time. And that's happening at the Metal Group office. I keep forgetting that I see everything in Australian standard time, not Eastern Standard Time, not daylight saving time.
Ah, yes, yeah. Of course.
Yep.
Yeah, because you don't like fading the curtains and the cows don't know what time to come in.
I just think destroying your circadian rhythm is a crazy thing just for an extra hour of daylight.
Oh, 1 hour, makes a difference. Yeah, here we go.
That's Queensland, though, right? 1 hour and 20 years behind the rest of the nation.
Right. That's exactly right.
Oh, boy. All right, this is not a political podcast, but anyway.
But we will definitely have a dig at each other for doing silly things like moving our clocks.
Yeah. Hey, comrade, down here in the United Soviet States of Victoria, we all enjoy having our clocks changed.
Yeah, yeah. You all enjoy being dictated to by your overlords.
Hell yeah.
So dark and cold down there.
Yeah.
We needed the extra hour. It was actually bollocks last week before it shifted, because it was 5:30 in the morning and it was daylight outside. It's like, this sucks.
Yeah, it's middle of summer. It's 4:30 in the morning here when the sun gets up. And I cop it in the eyes because our bedroom faces east.
Yeah, see, if you had daylight savings, it would be much more sociable. 5:30 for you, see? Yeah.
Nah, I just get out of bed anyway.
All right, look, well, with that, I don't know. Intelligent conversation out of the way.
Okay, no, actually, slight little thing just on the daylight savings. Given that I'm now, I'm no longer in like a support role, right? But years back, man, that was always like a bugbear. Like, we had these legacy Unix systems, like it was HP UX systems.
Oh, yeah.
That the last time zone patch from them was the Sydney Olympics time zone patch.
Yes.
And the dates had shifted since. And so we would forever, like twice a year, we would have issues where this Unix system would be an hour out.
For the 2 weeks, the extra 2 weeks. Yeah.
At one point, we ended up actually hiring HP to bring a guy in and update the TZ tab or whatever it was.
Yeah.
To put the current dates in there.
There's a file you can change, to put the time in there, yeah. I've had to do that before. Don't mess with times and dates, eh? Nope. Screw everything up. All right, well, with that out of the way, thank God, let's get on with the news items. And first news item, here's a finance one, but we've got some interesting numbers here. This is an article on Yahoo Finance. Move over NVIDIA. These analysts are betting on another tech stock for the number one spot. And guess who it is? Google. Moffat Nathanson.
Well, I have to Google it to find out who it is.
Moffat Nathanson, actually Alphabet. Moffat Nathanson thinks Alphabet should displace NVIDIA as the world's most valuable company. The brokerage raised its price on Google stock to $2.95, suggesting 20% upside from current levels. Beating NVIDIA. I mean, come on. So after like all the regulatory headaches of just recently and the antitrust have got out of the way, suddenly it's like, hang on a minute, there's a path forward here. And another interesting thing that this points out is that AI chatbots are expanding search rather than replacing it. Everyone thought that AI was going to destroy search, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Interestingly enough, Channel 9 News last night ran a story on Google's AI mode for search that's about to hit everyone, and that's going to change the game as well.
I actually saw something interesting about how Google's managing their search API for competitors, and they've done some rate limiting that had gone in. So now it's like each API call can only pull, I think it was like 10 results versus it was 100 previously.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So now their competitors that need to access Google search will have to make 10 times the amount of calls at 10 times the cost.
Ooh.
It's a bit of a moat that they're building around.
Yeah. Around their own search.
So, yeah, it is interesting. I think it is currently still kind of Google's game to lose.
Anti-competitive, maybe. They could get pulled up on that.
Maybe, but they just got through these ones, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
It might be a few years before they cop it.
But in their defense, like, it's their data.
Mm.
So they've done all the hard work in collating it and indexing it and all that sort of stuff. So they should be able to charge for it. And they should be able to charge whatever they want. It's whatever the market is willing to pay.
Yeah.
It's what Microsoft does with their licensing.
Yeah, it's an open market. You're right.
Yeah. Microsoft in Australia have quite quite boldly came out at one of the government hearings when they were questioned over their pricing practices on Office and Windows and all the rest of it. And the CEO of Google in Australia told the government that Microsoft prices their products at what the market will pay.
Yeah.
Whatever the market pays is their price is. So I don't see why
you're welcome to go to a competitor.
Yep. I don't see why Google should be any different.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, another little thing about this as well is 9 of the top 10 AI labs use Google platform.
Mm.
And nearly every AI unicorn runs on Google Cloud.
Yep.
They're not using Microsoft or whatever AWS is supplying. It's all on Google Cloud.
Yeah. It's interesting because Google Cloud, we've covered Google's growth in GCP a number of times, but the article actually specifically calls it out here is that Google Cloud saw a 28% growth in new customers over the first half of this year. And that's huge, like 28% of more new customers.
Yep.
And existing customers are spending 1.5 times more when they adopt AI tools.
Because it's so easy, right? When you're in Vertex AI and you've got everything in front of you, laid out in front of you, it's just a smorgasbord, right?
Yep. Some of the issues that we've seen with the current thing that we're working on, Dave, is the whole backlog that we've got with Google and getting stuff out of them. And it calls it out here is the company's contract backlog has reached $106 billion, with more than half expected to generate revenue in 2 years.
Yep.
So
they've got a pipeline of work that they can't deliver just yet.
Yeah, that's right. They just don't have the resources or the hardware to deliver it.
Yep. Yep. But I always say every week, the growth is staggering. The investment that they're doing to try and keep up is staggering.
Yep.
Another call out here, the company processes twice as many AI tokens as other cloud providers in half the time, which is roughly 4 times the volume. And that comes about because they own the entire stack.
Build
their own CPUs, create their own AI models, and they host it all in Google Cloud, right? It's just top to bottom, everything's available to you.
Yeah. It's interesting because some of the this article goes on about like the stock value and whether to buy it or sell it or hold it or whatever. And the bar graph that they've got there shows a fairly interesting story where we go through the litigation and you see some drop off of the share price and then it starts building up again and then you get another litigation and it drops off again.
Yeah.
But all in all, when you look at the bar graph overall, the majority of it is green, which tells me that we're always on a growth path.
Mm.
And that sort of reflected, there's a lot of analysts that are forecasting Alphabet to increase sales from $350 billion in 2024 to $600 billion in 2029.
Oh.
That's a lot of billions.
The more billions are better, right?
Yeah.
That's a good amount of billions.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I'm a bit of an expert in billions myself. I have many years of experience determining that more billions are in fact better. So, yes, you've got that. From the source.
That's very Monty Python-esque. I love it.
I thought you were going the Trump angle there for a minute, but
No. That was very much a Monty Python.
Monty Python, yeah. Gemini app now has 450 million monthly users and daily requests have increased 50% since the first quarter. So quite mind-blowing. Onward and upward, they say. But in the meantime, Qualcomm, they've got their eye after Intel and AMD. Qualcomm revealed its upcoming Snapdragon X2 Elite process for Windows computers last week. The company made its biggest signal yet. They are coming for Intel and AMD in the commercial PC market.
Yeah, so Qualcomm have released a feature called Snapdragon Guardian, which is akin to Intel's vPro and the Ryzen Pro, I think it's called.
Yeah,
platform.
Yeah. Out-of-band management.
Yeah, out-of-band management for commercial PCs. So it's a cloud-based solution from what I can see in this article.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it assists with management features, the same as Intel vPro and Ryzen Pro does. We can do location tracking and remote wipes and remote locks. And
I think you can even image machines remotely. That's
yeah, right.
You
know, okay.
Pretty cool. To be honest, it's never been, I've never used vPro on any of the machines that I have.
No.
I've got it on this laptop here. I should actually just give it a go.
Now, it has one big competitive advantage, and that it has a 5G cellular modem built in.
Yeah.
And the others don't.
Yeah, so these are ideal for machines that, like, you can just have, it could be offline, it could have been stolen, as long as it can be, it can be switched off, like, they're, because they can access them just via a sort of a trickle charge.
Yeah. So that will give, I suppose, OEMs, the likes of HP and Dell and all the rest of them, the ability to streamline their main boards a little bit, because with the Intel and AMD processors, they've actually got to put that silicon on the board to handle the 5G, whereas with the Snapdragon, they don't.
And Wi-Fi 7 too, we should mention.
Yeah, well, yeah. So this will be an interesting play from Snapdragon, from Qualcomm, I should say. I look forward to seeing what happens with it. I'd love to see an actual PC with a decent Qualcomm chip in it.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, so this is all ARM though, right? So I think it's great seeing some of the dominance on x86 moving away from, like, you know, ARM is very performant. For a long time been switching to using like ARM instances in the cloud because it was way cheaper. It's like, great, if I've got images that'll run on it, then that's the way you want to go.
Yeah. It's more power efficient too.
Much more energy efficient. Yeah.
And this is where the Apple ecosystem excels, even because the Apple Silicon is just an ARM processor, but they've custom designed. And like my new MacBook will last the entire day with me on it all the time, like coding on it without being plugged into a battery, to a charger. Mm. So, yeah, they're phenomenal in their power management.
All right. Well, I'd like to get my hands on one of these when they come out and see them on the shelves in JB Hi-Fi. Mm-hmm. I wonder, the article doesn't say which OEM is going to pick them up first, but you're probably right. I mean, it'd be likes of Dell, or one of those big manufacturers.
Or it could be the flip side of that. If the market doesn't see a demand for it, it might be one of the smaller, like an Asus or an Acer or something like that, that'll pick it up and try it out. And if it gets traction, then the bigger guys will pick it up.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see what happens, but it would have helped Optus if they had some new laptops. Who knows? But what do we know? Have we got any new information on the 000 outage in Optus?
Well, there's some new information, but they've had another outage. So they had another outage in the Illawarra region the other day. So they had a mobile tower site outage in the Dapto area, which is just south of Wollongong. The issue impacted calls between 3 a.m. and 12:20 p.m., so it's another long outage, like 9 hours. It's not a short outage. That happened on September 28th, and it also affected 000 calls.
Yeah, but Optus customers in that cell should have flipped over to a Telstra tower.
So, and this is a thing that I don't understand. So maybe the outage wasn't so much a hardware failure of the tower as it was maybe a backhaul failure.
And inability for that tower to switch 000 calls. So the calls are just going to dead air. Yeah. Okay, that'd be more like
it. So, because it says here in the article that there were a number of callers that tried 000, but they had to use phones served by a different telco, read Telstra, to reach emergency services, whilst another simply couldn't get through. So that tells me that the actual hardware was functioning, but the backhaul wasn't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They seem to have some endemic problems with that 000 network inside their environment.
Yeah. And obviously this comes just a week after the great firewall blunder of 2025. We'll call it that, shall we?
Yeah. And not the first time they've had a problem with their, you know, external facing firewalls or BGP.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember that BGP flood?
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap, that was huge. Yeah, so that was yet another outage. I feel for the guys at Optus that are trying to fix this because, you know, the guys on the ground are always the ones that cop it. But, you know, this is obviously a problem in their either network design or their implementation of the network. And this comes just a couple of days after the Optus CEO in Australia has blamed Indian IT engineers for the 000 outage that caused three deaths.
Three people to die, yeah.
Yep. Actually, there is an article here on Noticer that talks about that. So they're calling it human error during a firewall update. Basically, they didn't follow the previously successful way of doing the firewall update. And it was a team comprised of Optus staff, They were probably compromised. Team comprised of Optus staff and third-party engineers from Nokia, based in India. And they failed to divert calls to a separate part of the network. And so that was reported by Nine News.
Right, so I suppose they're supposed to do something like putting that thing into maintenance effectively, so everything routes around it and then do the job.
Yeah, yeah, change their BGP and hopefully not cause a BGP flood to get calls to go over a different route. But yeah, so the article actually calls out that three people died after being unable to get through to emergency services on that Thursday, and the death of a fourth, which is an eight-week-old baby, is possibly linked. So Optus could be in a world of hot water there.
Now, surely an upgrade like this is something they've done before, and it sounds like it is, and sounds like they would have had a known change plan. They've just ignored it, just decided that's not what they want to do tonight when they do this upgrade.
Yeah, so Stephen Roo, who is the chief executive of Optus in Australia, said preliminary investigations have determined that on the first night of the upgrade, the steps taken on past successful upgrades of a similar nature were not followed.
Yeah, interesting.
So okay. they didn't follow the SOPs.
Yep.
And people paid the price for it.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that story. It certainly keeps cropping up its head, and it's not going away for Optus.
No.
But in the meantime, Deloitte. Now, I was reading this article, and my wife walked in the room, and I had to just go, oh, my God, look at the stupid it burns. Deloitte to pay money back to Albanese government after using AI in $440,000 report. And a report that was riddled with errors.
Yeah.
And generated by AI. Like, what the?
Maybe the problem was is that Optus had actually Indians and, we're using artificial intelligence. All forms of AI apparently causing issues today.
Yeah, so there's a University of Sydney academic, Dr. Christopher Rudge, who first highlighted these errors and said the report contained hallucinations where AI models may fill in gaps, misinterpret data, or try to guess the answers. Instead of just substituting one hallucinated fake reference for a new real reference, they've substituted the fake hallucinated references, and in the new version, there's like 5, 6, or 7, or 8 in their place.
Wow.
So it's been put through AI, and then it's been put through AI again to correct it. And the second time the AI has gone, oh, we just need to fill in the blanks here because, you know, there's a bit of missing data. Let's make some stuff up. And this actually, is also this is a report for the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations. So, you know.
And they billed the government for $440,000 for this report, and they've picked up this riddle with errors, and they had to give them a refund.
Yep. So, I found interesting on this is that the actual contract amount isn't going to be made public until after the final payment has been made. So, the $440,000 report possibly isn't the full amount of the contract.
Wow.
Maybe.
Yeah, it'll just be one piece of work, right? Like, it's a single deliverable.
Yeah,
well, you can't just do that, guys. I mean, you've got to at least read. So, I mean, well, you know, even kids in school, like I'm telling my kids, you know, if you're going to use ChatGPT, because they're all using it, at least read the bloody thing before you hand it in. Like,
it just because white elephants appear in teachers' text.
That's right. Actually, I like the Finn review article. They said, report littered with errors, including three non-existent academic references and a made-up quote from a federal court judgment.
Again, that's that hallucination thing. Is like, I don't have data on this, so I'm just going to make something up.
Yeah, hallucinations are real. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Don't let your AI hallucinate. That's what it comes down to.
I did laugh at the statement here. Labor Senator Deborah O'Neill is quoted as saying, Deloitte has a human intelligence problem.
Well, if you've done your Gen AI Leaders certificate, you know all about this.
This is exactly right.
Yeah. So, yeah, a few more things. People need to learn a few more things about AI before they go firing it off everywhere. That's what it comes down to.
Just punch it. Full send, man.
Full send, yeah.
But
in the meantime, we've got a new DNS armor thing.
This is kind of cool, right? Yeah. I like on Google now, we've got quite a few sort of enterprise tools being bolted in.
Mm.
Right, so it's not all just the in-house stuff. They also, you know, leverage partners. Like, you know, we've certainly talked about all the integrations with Palo Alto. And now here's another one. So Infoblox have been tapped to support cloud DNS. So you can get DNS armor for all your outbound DNS queries. All right, so this is pretty cool, right? So for all your workloads, and you can have this set up on your on the project level for all your workloads on a VPC, you can say, okay, any requests off for DNS, point to our DNS armor instance effectively. And yeah, it's just malware protection, all sorts of nasties get filtered out by it. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, nice.
But very easy. Like, you don't have to go and like host an Infoblox DNS instance in there. It's all sort of happening in the back end. You're just sort of tapping the resources that are available, and no performance hit. So it's a pretty slick system. We like things like that we can just sort of flick a switch,
and it's enabled. Yeah. So it says here, for example, DNS armor can detect evasive techniques like fast flux, which involve rapidly rotating the IP address linked to a single domain name, making detection of malicious domains more difficult and often missed by traditional security tools. Nice. So it's kind of like sits in the middle there and protects your DNS lookups.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose it's a much more advanced version of Cloudflare has a couple of different endpoints, so it's supposed to be like their anti-malware endpoints. Instead of, .1111. There's a couple of other different ones which, give you a few little perks in there. I think they have like one that's also for like anti adult media and stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah, and it removes all those kind of domains. That's right.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the article here also says that DNS Armor can get visibility into the earliest indicators of malicious domains by detecting C2 activity, so command and control stuff from malware. Which that's, yeah, very, very similar to the way that Cloudflare's their DNS Armor, their version of DNS Armor works. So yeah, I'm impressed by this. I like it a lot. Yeah.
And it doesn't just block, like you get all the, everything in the logs as well. So if you've got workloads which all of a sudden are querying out to all these like malicious sites, well, you need to be alerted about that because you might have a threat actor on-prem that's, you know, trying to pull some of their tooling down, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Defense in depth.
Yeah, definitely worth having a look at and enabling it if you can. But in the meantime, Gemini. Now, I know, Dave, you're all in on the Gemini for home.
And, I am. It's been neglected for a long time, but finally.
We've got some updates.
Updates for home. It's happening. It's happening, people. There are new devices. We've got, there's the new 2K cameras coming. There's a new doorbell. There's a speaker coming soon. There's rumors of new screens. Google Home environment is not dead.
Do they have a smart switch for your GPO?
No. I mean, but those are like plenty of Matter enabled ones you can get.
Right. Yeah. So it's got to be
down the Shelly route.
Yeah. Right. It's got to be Matter compatible, does it? Okay.
Yeah. But no, so like just announced, so rolling out as of the 1st of October is that the Google Home app is being updated. So that's sort of like the first cabs off the rank. But then later in the month, we're going to start seeing a rollout to the actual Gemini devices if you're in early access. So some of the newer Home Hubs, I think like the Home Hub Max and some of the larger speakers, so more of the newer things, are getting access to Gemini instead of Home Assistant. Yeah, so it's coming. You'll be able to get live chat.
Yeah. Home Max, Nest Wi-Fi Point, Nest Hub Max, Nest Audio. They're all getting refreshes.
And I got a notification because I have all the Google Nest cameras, and I pay for the subscription for that, so that you get like 60 days of recording and notifications, and like, so I pay for that stack. That plan has now been upgraded to that's the same plan that they're using to enable the higher Gemini level as well. So you'll get like there's like a base tier that you get for free. But then if you've got the subscription, then you can do like more clever automations, right? So you can do things like if nobody's home, like you can tell Gemini to be like, okay, if nobody's home, set up a routine to turn on lights and the TV and music and stuff every now and again.
Right.
You can do stuff like on a schedule. So there's some pretty cool stuff coming.
I like AI descriptions. You can do things like instead of the usual activity or animal activity label, AI descriptions may be the dog is digging in the garden.
Yeah. And then you could also schedule like if the dog is digging the garden, you could have your Nest speaker go, oi!
I did see in this article, it mentions right down the very bottom, in March next year, the Google Home speaker is coming. So it looks a little bit like the
HomePod.
HomePod. Yeah. That's what it's called. Apple HomePod. Yeah. So looks very similar to that, except it's in cooler colors. Looks like it's coming March next year.
That's the first new like speaker device, but I saw an article that was interviewing one of their Google product guys, saying that they definitely like their like screens are ideal for them because you know it's a much better way to interact, and they can have cameras and things as well. So expect to have new home screens as well.
Yeah,
I've just given myself a little project. I'm going to put a camera on our chicken coop, because the chickens keep escaping. When the chickens escape, the AI can detect that and
and alert you.
Alert me. Yeah.
Nice.
I've seen that movie. Mm. I don't want to be a pie. I don't like gravy.
the movie. The movie references are coming out thick and fast today.
That'll do, pig. That'll do. All right, yeah. So new Nest stuff. Go check it out. But I've got to get Wi-Fi down the shed first. So that'll be my next little tech adventure for next year.
A Unify outdoor access point will do that for you, mate.
He could do a building to building bridge down to it.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. TP-Link, I've got one, and then I've got the spot to put it. I've got it all planned out. Yep. Don't worry.
I've just ordered another Unify mesh outdoor unit. So I've got one on the big shed, but it's just a little bit too far away. The signal loss is too much. So I'm putting one on the little shed as well. Because, yes, I have lots of sheds.
All right, well, let's move on with some security news. Google says hackers are sending extortion emails to corporate executives. Now, I didn't quite grok this story. In a statement, Google said a group claiming affiliation with the ransomware gang Clop was sending emails to executives at numerous organizations claiming to have stolen sensitive data from their Oracle e-business suite.
Yeah.
But then it goes on to say Google cautioned that it does not currently have sufficient evidence to definitely access the veracity of these claims.
This is another one of those, we've had access to your camera, your webcam, and we've caught you doing nasty things to yourself. Pay us $1 million or we're going to release the videos. It's another one of those sort of scam emails. It does quote here the head of cybersecurity at Halcyon's ransomware research center, Cynthia Kaiser, said that the company had seen the extortion demands in the 7 or 8 figure range, with the highest coming in at $50 million.
Don't ask, don't get, right?
Yeah, that's right. Kaiser noted some dispute over the connection to Klopp, saying that early indications that the perpetrators are potentially connected to the group, but there is so much overlap amongst all these groups and there are copycats across the ecosystem, so they're not really sure. They did seek comment from Klopp and Oracle, but they weren't returned. Who would have thought that a hacking group would not return their calls?
Bloody rude.
I know. Ghosted them. Google...
This just sounds like a non-story, really. Like, what's going on here? A couple of scam emails have been sent. I mean, it happens all the time, right?
Yeah, well, it does, but it's one of those things that you instead of hitting up the workers of a company, now you're hitting up the execs who are far less, for the most part, far less tech savvy than a lot of the workers that they've got, especially the IT workers. You'd be hitting up like CEOs and CFOs and all that. It's plausible that they could reap a fair whack of money out of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess we'll see what happens out of that. But I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal.
Nah.
Is that all we had for security this year? You mean there's been no hacks or breaches or nothing this fortnight?
None that I've seen.
Everyone's kept their door locked.
Yeah. They're not telling us until after the fact.
All right. The message is getting through, finally. Well, there's plenty happening in AI, so let's get on with the AI war. And
how very beatbox of you.
Announcing Claude Sonnet. Kind of mix it up, right? Yeah. Announcing Claude Sonnet 4.5 on Vertex AI. Go into your model garden and you'll see Claude Sonnet 4.5. Today we're announcing the general availability of Claude Sonnet 4.5, Anthropic's most intelligent model and its best performing model for complex agents, coding, and computer use on Vertex AI. I mean, this has got to be the best thing about Vertex AI, right? They're all the models are there.
Yep. Yeah, it's fantastic. So this was announced on the 30th of September by the VP of Product Management in Vertex AI, which is Michael Gerstenhaber. There you go. I've had a crack. I apologize if I butchered your name, mate. So Claude Sonnet 4.5, the key use cases for that one, because obviously it's designed for long-running tasks, so it's built to work independently and hallucinate its way into world-ruining doom. key use cases are coding, autonomously complete long horizon coding tasks, cybersecurity stuff, so it can deploy agents and autonomously patch vulnerabilities, financial analysis, because no one likes being in spreadsheets. And research, so it can handle tools and context and deliver ready to go office files to drive expert analysis.
And there's support for Claude Code, including a VS Code extension.
Yep.
It's nice. Yep.
And, you can build agents through the ADK, so the Agent Development Kit, and then scale it using Agent Engine. So that's just a standard part of Vertex AI, but that's, I think that's where the future of AI is going, is to be able to build your own agents with ADK and then scale them out to use them wherever you need.
Yep. And if you want to learn a little bit more about that, where should we go?
You should definitely go to Google.
Next Wednesday, perhaps?
next Wednesday, the 15th of October, in the Google head office in Sydney.
That's it. Yep.
I'll have to find the link for that one.
Yeah, send the link out. I'll put it in the show notes. But, very cool. Very nice to see another model going to EA in Vertex AI. We also have OpenAI and NVIDIA announcing a strategic partnership to deploy 10 gigawatts of NVIDIA systems. Now, this is the money go-around, right?
It is.
It really is, yeah. Right? Yeah, NVIDIA pours $100 billion into OpenAI. OpenAI goes and turns around and buys a shed load of GPUs.
Yep. It's all tax write-offs, right, at this point?
Yep. It's an astonishing build-out that they're going to be doing. So, they continue to do.
So this is an article on openai.com, and the TLDR is strategic partnership enables OpenAI to build and deploy at least 10 gigawatts of AI data centers with NVIDIA systems representing millions of GPUs for OpenAI's next gen of AI infrastructure. To support this partnership, NVIDIA intends to invest up to $100 billion in OpenAI, and the first gigawatt of NVIDIA systems will be deployed in the second half of 2026. On NVIDIA's Vera Rubin platform. I don't think we've discussed Vera Rubin yet. Must be their next generation.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yep. A couple of quotes from Altman there. Everything starts with compute, said Sam Altman, co-founder of OpenAI. As we know, compute infrastructure will be the basis for the economy of the future. And we will utilize what we're building with NVIDIA to both create new AI breakthroughs and empower people with business and them at scale. So here we have, it's turning out to be a two-horse race the way I'm looking at it. If you see this, we've got NVIDIA and OpenAI on one side and then Google running their own show on the other side.
Yep.
But OpenAI are using some Google infrastructure. Because no one else can supply it, right?
That's right. This article actually quotes OpenAI has grown to over 700 million weekly active users, and it's got strong adoption across global enterprises, small business, and developers. So this will be definitely a good thing for OpenAI to do. But I think Dave, you said it earlier on, or maybe Banky, you said it earlier on in the podcast. The AI war is definitely Google's to lose.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They've got all the cards and they really just need to play them.
Yep. And you know, my humble opinion, I think they are. They're being now that the initial, you know, rush is out of the way. They'd been very methodical up to that point, and then they had obviously had to rush a few things to market. But that's sort of out of the way now, and now we're just seeing this methodical sort of chipping away at it and this slow improvement of things.
Yeah, they're just it's constant iteration.
That's right.
What we've seen is the perfect example of agile development.
Exactly, and we're seeing that also in Gemini's home screen. So Gemini has got a refresh. Gemini's home screen could soon get a discovery style redesign. And what's the point of this? Is this to make it like more scrollable? Is that the idea?
Look, it's part of. I think it's part of the new material design UI that's come out across Pixel devices. They've all got the. I think it's Material 4. It is now. Is it Material 4 now, Dave? Or is it?
I don't remember. Know. I'm not a UI guy.
No, neither am I. I like backends for a good reason.
And you cannot lie.
No.
I think the idea is to sort of bring the infinity scroll idea into Gemini.
Yeah.
So that your deep research and your image creation, that all appears as a feed.
Yeah, right, okay.
If we take the points away from this, our app, this is Android Authority. They've done a teardown and revealed that Google is testing a new Gemini home screen. The redesign adds a scrollable feed of one top tap prompt suggestions. Prompts range from image edits to news to quizzes and coding.
So you end up in a bit of a Gemini rabbit hole.
Yeah, you get this AI-generated feed.
If I don't already doom scroll enough.
Yeah,
exactly. You need more. And if you look at the screenshots here, you can see that it's kind of it's got a scrolly vibe, an infinity scroll vibe to it.
And what I need is my new Logitech Master MX4 with its rapid scroll rate. Doom scroll at an astronomical speed.
Have you ordered that yet?
I'm tempted.
MX4, yeah.
Then I just need AI to summarize it all for me. And tell me what's going on as opposed to me having to read it because, you know, my eyes aren't real great these days.
That's right. I want a one-sentence summary that I can read in 10 seconds. Yep. Yeah, of everything.
It's one of the things that I constantly get on the iPhone is, do you want me to summarize this? I'm like, no, I don't want this summarized.
I do not.
If I wanted it summarized, I would have said, hey, summarize it.
Like, I'm capable of doing a bad summarization of this myself. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I can misread an article better than anyone.
So anyway, look out for that in the Gemini app. It'll be interesting to see how that works. But we've also got Gemini introducing the Gemini 2.5 computer use model.
Yeah, brand new. This was just yesterday came out. So this is pretty cool. This is really targeted at like that, robotic process automation stuff. So if you've got an application that still is, it's just a GUI and you need something that can interact with a GUI, not at an API level, this is the one for you.
Oh,
yeah, right.
Right.
All right, this is the model. All right, so it can actually interact. They've got an example in here, like a prompt, like my art club brainstorm tasks ahead of our fair. So they've got like a board, like a Miro board that's all been set up with all the little cards. The board is chaotic, and I need your help organizing the tasks into some categories. Go to, and here's the link to the thing. Ensure the notes are clearly in the right sections. Drag them there if not. All right, and it can interact with it. It can move things around.
I see this as a really good tool for QAs, testing new software releases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This could be revolutionary for that.
Well, because what's the the stack you use for
Selenium.
There you go, Selenium testing.
Mm. Yeah, this would replace that entirely.
I've got a use case for this as well. you know, every fortnight when I publish the show, I have to go through this this mess of show notes that we create here, which is all over the place, right? And I have to copy the links out and paste the links in. This can just do all this automatically for me. I'm loving this.
Well, surely you could do that already in this anyway. You could just say, hey, because you create a, you create a Google Sheet out of this, don't you?
I create a HTML file. And then I take that and I paste it into a sheet, the raw HTML, and then my Python function extracts that and generates the RSS feed. Right?
Okay.
But it's a matter of getting it out of the doc.
Mm.
And it's not always, like, sometimes there's two links, sometimes there's one. It's not always, you know, it's not always formatted the right way. Sometimes there's other text in there. It's all a bit wishy-washy because we just kind of throw everything in there.
Yeah.
I think AI would probably do a pretty good job of that.
Yeah. And possibly cut down on our spelling errors too. Because apparently English is not, we're not real good at it.
Well, you know, as long as we know what it means, that's all that matters. Yeah.
That's it. No, this is cool.
Yeah, looking at the benchmark stuff, it says that like OS controls not yet supported, but we know we've seen like Gemini and the Terminal.
Yes.
That can do OS stuff, so you know, I guess it won't be too far off.
Yeah, but if it's integrating with a web page, for instance, so just a standard HTML page or whether it's a dynamic one or whatnot, I honestly think this would be a QA tester's dream. They go through and say, this is what we expect in the UI. Please go and test this UI to ensure that every possible variant of input into this form works, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So put stuff in the fields that doesn't belong there and see if it handles it nicely.
Yeah. It's interesting. So it says it's primarily optimized for web browsers, but also demonstrates strong promise for mobile UI control tasks, but not yet optimized for desktop OS level control. So if you still had like a thick client install app, it's not the one for you just yet, but I guess, you know, they would do more of that because there's so many legacy applications that are running on there. Though I do wonder if perhaps given that browser control, like I wonder how it would work with like Electron apps.
Yeah, well.
There's a lot of those.
Oh, yes. Mm. And they're all just JavaScript.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Oh, this will be cool. I can't wait to see what this does, to be honest.
Give this a go, yeah. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the show. That is going to be an interesting breakthrough, that computer use model. But don't forget, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube Music, if the AI is not finding it already. Go to Apple Podcasts, write us a review. Maybe the AI could do that for us. Go to YouTube, start the discussion. Maybe the AI could do that as well.
Yeah.
contact the show, contact@gcbbytes.com.au. Find us on the web, www.gcbbytes.com.au. I could automate my entire publishing pipeline, perhaps.
Then we can just replace you.
Don't forget the sponsors are Hive Tech Solutions, Technofish Consulting, and Mantle Group. And that's it. We're not AI automated yet. I don't think we ever will because we actually like creating this show. Anything else from you guys?
Nah. No. Let's get out of here.
Right, let's get out of here. We'll see you later. Bye.
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 Did I tell you about my son, Angus?
No.
So he got really excited. He's joined the Labour Party. Right? Has he? Paid the $20 a year membership. He's a member of the Labor Party. and he gets emails from... he gets invited to all these things. So he's been invited to a meeting out at Orange. It's like, can I go to Orange to go to a Labor? He went to like the local King Cumber meeting. Had to clue them all up on the vaping situation in the high school and how outraged he was about it. He got invited to this thing in Sydney at New South Wales Parliament. Like we didn't know where it was. It was like, Angus, this is a Labor party in the New South Wales Parliament, in the ballroom in the Parliament. Can I go? Turns out it was a 30th anniversary for Bob Carr being a Labor member.
Angus is plugged in, mate.
It was a black tie event. He's RSVP'd and everything.
Yeah, wow.
He's in there. He's going to be, getting a law degree and going to one of the various, labor-aligned law firms.
And he tells us at, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, oh, I've RSVP'd to this thing. Can you drive me?
I'm just going to pop down to Parliament.
Where is it? Mate, it's a black tie event in New South Wales Parliament for Bob Carr.
You go to Orange.